Are we on?
Yes,
can you
we're
hear
on.
Us?
Okay.
Beautiful.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Raiders of the Elevator Token. I guess we have the few die-hard TechEd attendees in the room here.
Thank you very much.
Morning. Thank you very much for being here. My name is Raymond Convalius, and I'm a consultant from the Netherlands. Actually, I'm a consultant and trainer. About 7 years ago, I started altering. My first book is not on the slide deck. It was kind of my miserable failure. Windows Vista for XP professionals. Never really made it. After that, I did two other books, a little bit more successful. And nowadays, I mostly consult and do train a little.
Okay. My name is Erdal Özkaya. I'm the regional director for CAM Technologies in Australia and New Zealand. I came all the way here from Australia. And I'm a Windows IT expert since 2009, doing sessions with Raymond all over the world. And hopefully you're going to have a wonderful session in 75 minutes.
Okay, so the contents of this session. We will talk about user account control, what it actually is and what it does. And then we'll move into the new features of user account control, actually, which are contained in app containers in Windows 8. And then in the end, we'll talk about how browsers utilize user account control and why they're safer when user account control is enabled. So, user account control was enabled as a technology in Windows Vista.
Okay, what is the user account control? Microsoft had a statement at Microsoft TechNet website. It says, the UAC solution is to run most applications with standard user rights. It was designed to encourage software developers to create applications that run that will run standard user rights. The idea behind that was to accomplish enabling legacy applications to run standard user rights, making it convenient for standard users to access administrative rights when we need them. But there is a very important point which we have to keep in mind. UAC is not a security boundary. And Raymond is going to prove you that in very short time.
Okay, well, actually, user account control was not a real security feature in the sense that it added a lot of extra security. It was an educational measure for developers. So, actually, I noticed that because I was in a plane last year, I think, 2 years ago, from Atlanta to Amsterdam, and I was sitting next to a developer and I told him I was presenting a TechEd about user account control. He thought I was a brave man because he truly hated user account control because it forces them to develop in a different way. Their developers got used to the fact that users had all the admin rights available. So we didn't like that, especially not in a corporate environment. Users had to be standard users. Oh, why is my clicker? Standard user that comes in to the office in the morning, runs his applications, shuts down the machine and goes home, never makes any changes to his computer. But since Windows Vista, we got a new user, standard user. The new standard user, especially at home, is the one that logs on as a member of the administrator's group without having all the powers of the administrator. It's like undressing the superhero. He's now the normal man. He can do whatever he likes, but he cannot make changes to its system until he approves, until he says, okay, he clicks the button. And the button says, do you want to elevate? At that time, this user at home becomes an administrator, being able to make changes to a system. Well, in Vista, we got a bit of tired of pressing this button. And a lot of people, I don't know if most people, but a lot of people turned the feature off. The feature was turned off by default for the built-in administrator. But the built-in administrator is a disabled user in Vista, Windows 7, and Windows 8. So, what happens when you log on as a member of the administrator's group on a Windows 7 system or a Windows Vista system? You log on, and a user token is created for you. The user token exists of your SID, your security ID. The security IDs of the groups that you are a member of, and you get privileges. And you also get a mandatory level, but I will talk about that a little bit later. Now, what Windows does when you log on, It examines all the groups that you are a member of. And if it finds any of these administrative groups, which are the groups like domain admins, built-in administrators, schema admins, enterprise admins, if it finds any of these groups, it flags the group in your token with the deny flag. Deny flag means that if you try to enter an object in Windows that requires you to be a member of any of these groups, you will be denied access. Windows also examines your rights and privileges. My clicker isn't really working very nicely with me. And it takes away all your privileges, except for the ones that you need as a standard user. So you will still be able to shut down the system or change the time zone, but you will not be able to act as part of the operating system, for instance. So, let's have a look. You can actually see very well how this works, if I'm able to log on to my system.
You should be.
Here I am, logged on as a member of many administrative groups on my system, and I will use Process Explorer to view what's going on with the processes that I start now. This is Process Explorer. I will first elevate Process Explorer to make sure that I can see everything.
With the admin, right?
Yes. And I made a few changes to Process Explorer. You will see green lines when new processes come up, and you will see red lines when processes die. So when I now start a command line, command prompt, you will notice that I have a new process here for cmd.exe. This is a process that came up without the consent UI. So this is what we call the... not the elevated token. The restricted token.
Restricted token, sorry. Yes. Yeah.
So the restricted token, what happens here is we can see it from Process Explorer. Let's have a look at the process and its properties. If I go to the properties here, and my mouse is working with me. In the properties, we can find security here. And in security, you see that I'm a member of the built-in users groups, and I'm also a member of domain admins. And the admins group, it says, I'm a member of the admins group, and it says, a member of this group for deny only. And when I move down this list, you can see I'm also a member of other groups, which are also flagged for deny only. So this is the process that is a member of the administrators group, but cannot make use of its powers. If I now start an elevated command prompt, let's do it from here. I have to pass the consent UI. The consent UI will tell me, well, do you want to have a new process with administrative powers? So when I click yes here, I get the administrative process. And when I look for its properties, you will notice that I am a member of the domain admins group, and I'm just a mandatory member of the domain admins group. And the same is for all the other groups that I am a member of. And if you look down here at the list of privileges, I now have a very long list of privileges. And the list of privileges is very short for the other process. I will have a short look at the other list. This is the first CMD, and if I look at its privileges here, you see that there is a very short list of privileges. Those are the only privileges that you have as a standard user. So, what actually happened? I logged on as a member of the administrators group, and I wanted to have an elevated token. At that time, the consent UI is shown. And it's not just a dialog box that shows up. Windows turns into what's called the secure desktop. The secure desktop is the same modus that you get when you press Ctrl-Alt-Delete on a system. In this modus, Windows will only accept input from your keyboard and mouse. It will not accept input from a script that might want to click yes for you. It seems to freeze the system, but it doesn't. What it does, it creates a screenshot of what's going on, and it shows you the screenshot, and in the back, everything will keep running. Now, a lot of us didn't really like user account control, especially not in Vista. Because what happened in Vista? In Vista, every elevation of a token required you to click the consent UI. So this changed in Windows 7. What they did in Windows 7 is that they eliminated the consent UI when you wanted to have an elevated token to do computer configuration with a known Windows tool to configure your computer. So if you started computer management or the event viewer, it will create an elevated token, but it will not show you the consent UI. That's the default for Windows 7 and for Windows 8. This slider, it has four options. The upper option is kind of the Windows Vista option. Means bug me always. Always show the consent UI when you need an elevated token. The option below the default says, do not use the secure desktop. So in this case, you will see the consent UI. You can click yes, but the script can also click yes for you. So it's less safe. But in the beginning, especially in the very beginning, there were a number of monitors that didn't like to switch to the secure desktop all the time. Now the lower option, never notify, this is the one that has actually changed between Windows 7 and Windows 8. In Windows 7, it means turn off user account control. Now turning off user account control means that you get back to the security model you had in Windows XP. You log on as a member of the administrators group and you get all administrative powers immediately. Every process that you start runs with administrative powers. You can do anything if you wanted to do it or not. In Windows 8, it changed. In Windows 8, never notify doesn't mean turn off user account control. It means never show the consent UI. So Windows will know when to elevate and when not to elevate. And sometimes you will get into trouble because you want to elevate and Windows doesn't know you want to elevate. So you can manually elevate or tell the program that it should elevate every time it starts. Now with group policy you have some more options. Because group policy allows you to configure user account control for standard users. It enables you to enable user account control for the built-in administrator. And that's especially for servers, because the built-in administrator doesn't use user account control. It's always the full power administrator when you log on. And then there are a few extra options for the administrator in admin approval mode. So if you are a member of the administrators group and you log on, you have the option to get the consent UI when you require elevation. But you don't have to see the consent UI. You can also choose to see a prompt for credentials. And this might seem a bit more secure because each and every time you require elevation, it will ask you for your username and password. Well, I had a discussion with one of my customers one day, and they said, we want this. We want our administrators to enter their username and password each and every time they require elevation. Because that's more secure. Then nobody can come to their desk, try to elevate, and then click yes. But is it more secure if an administrator comes in the office and types in his username and password 30 times a day. I think by the 10th time I will be able to tell his password. So rethink that. The other option is to turn off the secure desktop, but it will create a less secure situation. And you can also choose the default from here. And it says prompt for consent for non-Windows binaries. So it will only show the consent UI when you're running something, some tool that requires elevation that is not a part of Windows.
Okay. Let me show you what Raymond has just explained. To be able to see the settings, of course, I'm going to go to the group policy settings. I go to, let me just make it a bit bigger. Windows settings. From the security settings, from the local policies, security options, and when we scroll down, I'm going to zoom in very shortly. When we scroll down here, you will see that the option that Raymond explained are just hidden here. The first one which I want to show you is the behavior for evaluation for prompt and administration action. As you can see, the prompt, it is prompting for the consent for non, sorry. It will, is this.
What's happening?
I don't know, when I zoom in. Can you still see it like that? So we have all these options here anyway. As you can see, we can just click on the options and that's where it's gonna ask us, should we do it automatically? Should we prompt for the credentials? Also, the more important one is the password for evaluation option here. When we come to run to admin user account control for admin accounts, you will see that it's been enabled and the explanations are just given here to us.
Wait a second, Earl. When we come back to this option, actually in Windows 8, this is the only option to truly disable user account control. But be aware that if you do this in Windows 8, you're no longer supported. Microsoft doesn't test anything without user account control starting from Windows 8. So you can still turn it off, but you shouldn't do it. And I'll show you a little bit more about the effects of this setting later.
All right. And this is the other options where we go and configure it. So it is really important to keep this in mind to when it's come to our evaluated user ID tokens.
Yes. So if you look at these options, there are a couple of options that we didn't mention yet. Some of them refer to UI access applications. And UI access applications are a special breed of applications. Those are applications that should be able to act as a keyboard or mouse. And as I just told you, software cannot act as a keyboard or mouse while you're on a secure desktop. Well, this is the way it's supposed to be. We know this statement from Microsoft. It's by design. But this by design feature created some issues, especially when people try to use remote assistance. Because with remote assistance, you have an application that should be acting as a keyboard and mouse. And then when you had the elevation prompt, you got in trouble because the remote access application is not able to access the screen. So you cannot answer the prompt for consent. You cannot enter alternative credentials. And this created some discussion during Windows 7. So in Windows 7 SP1, a new option appeared in the group policy settings, and that new option said, disable the secure desktop for UI access applications. And this is what the effect of this feature is. Let's say Erdl is my standard user. And Erdl calls me. I'm the administrator of the network.
And I need help.
And you need help. So I offer him to help. And I create a remote assistance session. And Erdl, he wants to be helped, so he clicks yes. And now I have access to his computer and I can see what's going on and something went wrong and I want to make some changes to his system. So what I do is I try to open an elevated command prompt.
Uh-oh.
Now this is the default that will happen in Windows 7 and in Windows 8 when you try to do this from a remote session. The session is paused and Erdl can see a prompt for credentials. Now, I think the last thing that I want to do is give Erdl my credentials over the phone to enter my prompt.
I'm not that bad.
And do the things that I want to do. So, Windows 7 SP1 introduced this new feature. And it says, allow UI access applications to prompt for elevation without a secure desktop. So, What happens now is that if I had enabled this feature and I want to elevate, I can elevate. Because Windows now knows that we are in a remote session and it's not supposed to enter the secure desktop, so I can enter my credentials. So now I'm happy and I can make changes to Erdl his system.
Okay, so what is if I turn or you turn evil? So you're getting my, you're getting the full admin privileges, right? Should I just trust you? What can you do to me?
Well, what can you do to me?
Oh, you know, I was trying to be the good boy, but...
Because this remote session, this remote assistance session, it's not my session being the administrator. It's his session being the user. He can end this session whenever he likes. So if I have opened this command prompt, he can close it, the session at any moment. And now he has my command prompt. And probably I'll be running.
Towards me.
And take away his computer or something.
I'm in Australia.
I might be in real trouble. So it might not be the best idea to enable this feature.
So it's important to give it to the trusted people, right? Not to...
Well, you have to assess the risk and make sure that you accept the risk when you do this. Well, the first statement about user account control already mentioned that it was there to educate those developers to get used to the fact that users would not always have administrative privileges. But we had a whole shipload of legacy applications that were used to stuff like writing their configuration files in the Windows folder, writing their configuration files in the program files folders, doing stuff in HK local machine in the registry. And Microsoft truly didn't want to break these applications immediately. So what they did, they built in a compatibility measure, two compatibility measures actually, file virtualization. And what file virtualization does, actually, file virtualization is part of what we call the layer of lies in Windows. What it does, if there is a legacy application that tries to write its information to Windows folder, for instance, Windows will tell the application, well, that's just fine. I have just written this information to the Windows folder. But in fact, what happened is that Windows redirected the write operation to a user-based location. And when this same application tries to look up this information, it will retrieve the information from that user-based location, making the application think that everything went fine. At the same time, Windows will register this event in the event log so that you can look it up later, that you still have applications running that try to write their information into the Windows folder or the program files folder. This only works for 32-bit and 16-bit applications, not for 64-bit applications. And it doesn't work for applications that are part of Windows. And it's called UAC virtualization. You can disable it from group policy. Actually, the last option that was there in this list in group policy says disable file and registry virtualization. So you can disable it from there. The registry has kind of the same functionality available. I have to do something with the clicker. And what registry virtualization does is that it also redirects your write or read operation from HK local machine, software Microsoft, to HK current user in a virtual store. But there are slight differences. If you want to disable it for a certain thing for registry virtualization, you can do it per registry key using reg.exe. And if a write operation or read operation is redirected in the, within the registry, it's not registered in the event log. So you will not find back any registry virtualization actions in Windows.
I press probably.
So let's get back to my system and log on.
I switched.
And now I have wrong password.
Dun-dun. You sacrificed some chickens this morning for the demigods.
No, I didn't. I forgot about the chicken this morning.
Anyway, it's just a password. It shouldn't take long. In the meantime,
yeah, it's there.
Sharp. Here we go.
What's happening?
I didn't change the password.
Can you switch back? So what I'm going to do now, when I have my screen back, I will open a command prompt that has a restricted token. So it doesn't have administrative powers at that moment. Now, I will re-enter my password, and now I will do it the correct way. Now my system is really messing up. So.
And seriously, it's just a basic password issue.
Can you please switch back? I don't want them to see my password.
I wanted to show you a password.
So.
Okay, we are in.
Yes, I'm in. So what I do now is I will start a command prompt session without elevation, so I'm restricted. And if I now try to create a file in the Windows folder, and I can do it like this, echo my config, and I will write it to c-windows/ my config
i.txt.
This is what will happen.
Access denied.
Access is denied. This is usual behavior. I do not have the right to write new stuff into the Windows folder, being an admin in admin approval mode without elevation. So what I can do now, I can enable user UAC virtualization, file virtualization for this process. I can do that using the task manager. Go into the details and looking up my process. And in the process, I can enable this feature that says UAC virtualization. If I enable it, change virtualization. Thank you, Bert.
Bert.
If I enable it and I retry my operation, as you see now, everything works out fine. Windows doesn't complain. I don't get any access denied messages. And if I look up what I just did, let's zoom in another different way. And dir c windows, find any txt file. There is myconfig.txt in the Windows folder. There seems to be a myconfig.txt in the Windows folder. But that is until I disable file virtualization, because when I disable file virtualization, again, like this, and I try to do the same operation, like this, this file is not there. So a file is created for me, but it's not in the Windows folder. It seemed to be there. This file is actually written to the virtual store. It's there in my profile. It's in my user-based location. I'll show you where it is. Let's zoom out. Open Windows Explorer. And now I will browse to my profile folder. See users, admin, and admin
demo
app data local, and there's a folder here that's called the virtual store. Now the virtual store has this Windows folder here, and the Windows folder here contains my configuration file. So this is the file that I just created
a few seconds ago,
and this operation, it was logged in the event viewer. In the event log. So I can look it up in the event viewer, and it's very easy to look up if you know where it is, because the event viewer got really big since Windows Vista. Let's open event viewer. And in the event viewer, you have to go all the way here to applications and application and services logs. Microsoft, Windows, and then there is this very long list of logs, and I jump straight to the U, because there is a log here that says UAC file virtualization. I have to do it like this, if yep. my mouse works with me. Come on, mouse. Oh, yes. And if I look in the log here, my operational log, it will show me that I have a new entry created today. And the entry says, it created my config.txt. So here you can look up if there was any program that created this virtualized file for you. Registry virtualization doesn't do this. So you cannot look up registry virtualization happening.
Integrity levels.
Yes. So user account control is not only about adding groups and privileges to your token when you require elevation. It's also about mandatory access control. Mandatory access control in Windows is implemented in such a way that each and every object, a process, a file, or registry entry gets an integrity level. Higher integrity level processes can make changes to lower integrity level or the same integrity level objects. They can communicate freely with the same integrity level processes. And they can communicate freely with lower integrity level processes. But a lower integrity level process, it cannot communicate to higher integrity level processes. And it cannot make changes to higher integrity level objects. So what happens? You log on, the default for everything that you do and everything you create is the medium integrity level. But if you start running Internet Explorer and you browse the internet, you get a process with the low integrity level. Meaning that if you are running Internet Explorer and Internet Explorer tries to make changes to your files, for instance, your files will have the medium integrity level. So Internet Explorer is not able to make changes to these files. Internet Explorer is running at the low integrity level, while all your other processes are running at the medium integrity level. So low-level Internet Explorer cannot communicate to your higher-level processes and send messages to these processes, which makes it more safe. If you start an elevated token, you get a token with the high integrity level. So all your processes running as an administrator with administrative powers are not accessible for these medium-level processes. So a medium-level process will never be able to tell a high-level process to do anything that you didn't want to, because the medium-level process is not allowed to talk to a higher-level process. Now, Google implemented this and even has a lower level, but I'll show you that later. Yep. Erdl will show you that later. So when you log on and your user token is created, you always get a medium level process token. And when you elevate and you click yes for consent, you will get a new process, and that new process gets the high integrity level. So Internet Explorer has something that we call Internet Explorer Protected Mode. Internet Explorer Protected Mode is used by default when you browse the internet, when you're going to untrusted places with your internet browser. And when you're running in protected mode, you're running at the low integrity level, meaning that you cannot talk to any other process to go at the medium level. And it makes it more safe. To make sure that you are able to talk to certain medium level processes, there is kind of a firewall built around Internet Explorer in protected mode, which we call the UI privilege isolation. And UI privilege isolation makes sure that you can send a few approved messages to to approve processes from this low-level process. So you will be able, for instance, to download a file and save the file in your documents folder. Otherwise, you would not be able to. So this is what it looks like. When you start Internet Explorer, you get two processes. The first process is your management process. It's running at the medium integrity level, just like any other process that you are running as a standard user. And it contains the command line, it contains your favorites, and it creates your frame. Then when you start browsing the internet, you get an extra process. And the extra process is the process, when it browses the internet, it will run in protected mode. So it's a low-level process. It cannot do anything. It can talk to the management process and send certain messages because of this UI privilege isolation. And then when you start browsing a trusted site or your intranet, you get a new process for Internet Explorer. And this process is running at the medium integrity level. And you need this because, for instance, on your intranet, you should be able to open documents. You should be able to do certain things that you do on your internal network as a standard user. And you should not be limited because you are running in protected mode.
So,
thank you. So, let's first start two processes. Well, let's first start Process Explorer. That's a good idea. And run it as an administrator. And now start a command prompt. This is my command prompt as a standard user. And you can see this in Process Explorer. Here's my process, cmd.exe. And here it says the integrity level, and my integrity level here is medium. So now I start a command prompt with administrative powers, being admin. Click yes. And I get a new command prompt, and my new command prompt is running at the high integrity level. Now I can start WordPad. Let's first start WordPad at the medium integrity level. No, at the high integrity level. Here. This is my administrative prompt, running as an administrator. And I will start WordPad from here. And this is WordPad running as an administrator. Now I can open this picture that Erwin and I created earlier. And it sits here in this document. That's fine. Now I start a new WordPad process with the restricted token. So when I do the same thing from here, this is my second WordPad, and this is WordPad with the restricted token. You can see it from here. This is WordPad with the medium integrity level. So, I can show you now how communication is limited. This is my high integrity level WordPad with a picture. And I can do drag and drop to the medium integrity level WordPad. And it will work. Now let's delete my picture here. Can I do it the other way around?
Same picture?
Same picture from medium to high. I cannot do it because this is the medium integrity level process that cannot talk to the higher integrity level process. Now let's see what happens. Now let's close this one. I will not need it anymore. And I will start a low integrity level WordPad. I can use PSExec for that. -L. And now I get a new process. Let's see what it looks like in Process Explorer. I get WordPad here. And this is WordPad running at the low integrity level.
Okay.
So you probably will expect it like this. I am able now to use WordPad at the medium integrity level. And do drag and drop to the low integrity level, because the higher integrity level is allowed to talk to the lower integrity level. Like this. And now I will close this one. Now this is WordPad running at the low integrity level. Being at the low integrity level, I am not able to save this to my documents folder. And I'll show you. Because the documents folder, my own documents folder, it has the default integrity level, which is medium. And this is a low level process. So let's try to save it. File, save, my document. And here's the error message.
Uh-oh.
You don't have permission to save in this location. So, Internet Explorer running at the low integrity level is not able to write any file to this location, not to my documents folder. So there must be some locations where Internet Explorer is able to store its files. Now let's see where that is. If I open the file browser and browse to my profile folder, I can go to a folder that's called app data. It's hidden. And here you'll notice that I have three subfolders. One says local, one says local low, and one says roaming. Now, if I want to see the security on these folders, I will use the command prompt. I have a command prompt, and it's here. Let's open this one. Not that one.
This one?
Yes. And I will go to my profile folder. To the app data folder. And use iCackles to view the security of these folders. Now I have a local folder, which doesn't show anything special. And I have a folder named local low. And what you see here for local low is that it has a mandatory label. And it says low mandatory level. So if you are running a low level process, you will be able to save your files in here. And I can try to do that for my WordPad process at the low mandatory level. Let's go back here. And then go to my profile folder. Users, admin. Let's zoom in. Go to app data. Local low. And now save my file. I save my file like this. No. Please save my file. Oh, it's already saved. No error messages, no access denied. So my low-level process can save into the low integrity level location. So you will notice also in Process Explorer that this happens if you just start Internet Explorer. Let's close all these windows and start Internet Explorer like this. Internet Explorer will start browsing the internet. And you can see here that I have two processes from Internet Explorer. I have a medium level process, which is the management process, and I have a low level process, which is the process that's currently browsing the internet. So what happens when I start browsing my internal network? Well, it will be like this. Let's go to the web server on my internal network, which is this server here. And it will show me the default. And now I get a new process, which shows here in Process Explorer. And this new process will be at the medium integrity level. That's because this is my internal network. It's trusted. So now I'm moving to a website in the trusted zone. I get a new process to browse this website. And it's in the trusted zone. Now, if you're running Internet Explorer from a system that is not a member of a domain, it's running in a work group, and you're working at home, for instance, you might get a message when you try to enter your router or your home server, for instance, that says, would you like to enable intranet settings? And if you click yes, you get a warning. Do you truly want this? Because you're creating a less secure situation. This means that if you are running in a work group, Internet Explorer will always run in protected mode. Unless you say yes to this message. And then it will turn on the trusted site for your internal network. And then when you are entering a website on your internal network, it will run at the medium integrity level. Otherwise, it will keep running at the low integrity level for your internal network. I don't think it's a really clear message that you get, especially not for home users, but that's what it says.
Is it the same for the home group as well?
That's the home group. Domain users will never get that message. For domain users, it will be the domain administrator that can decide how to deal with internal websites and external and untrusted websites.
I switched to.
So, you might have already noticed that sometimes Windows just knows when it requires elevation. Almost always, Windows knows when it requires elevation. So, that's why you don't see a prompt for elevation when you start your computer management software, like computer management, like the event viewer, because Windows knows these are programs that require elevation and you will just get an elevated process without a consent UI. This is for all Windows management tooling, except for the command prompt and regedit. That's for security reasons. So if you want to elevate a command prompt, you will always get the consent UI. That's what I just showed you. And the same will happen for the registry editor. Now, for other software, Windows is looking for different aspects of the program that you're starting. If it's an old-fashioned program that the developer didn't know anything about elevation, Windows will just look at the name of your application. And if Windows finds anything in a name like setup, install, or update, Windows will be smart. It will just think, maybe this is something that you will use to change your system. Let's elevate. So Windows will then show the consent UI and try to create an elevated token for you. This feature can be disabled in group policy. The feature says, detect application installation and prompt for elevation. There are other ways around this, because sometimes you have software that has a certain name and the name should be there. And then you have different ways to change Windows behavior. One of the ways to change this is by using a manifest. Manifests are usually created by the developer. A manifest can tell different things about an application. And one of those things can be how to deal with elevation. So the manifest, which is usually injected in the executable, can tell Windows that it should run at the same level as the process that's just started it. So if you're running Windows Explorer and you double click, you're already running at the medium integrity level with a restricted token, then this process will start with the same token. When the manifest says highest available, then Windows will look, if you are a member of the administrators group, then it will request for elevation. If you're just a standard user, it will just run. And the last option is require administrator. And require administrator, it will not start the software if you are a standard user. It will just tell you, you are not allowed to run this software. You require elevation. Now, what I already told you, the manifest can be injected in the executable. So usually you will not see any manifest on your system. It's part of the executable. And you can change it as part of the executable, but you have to be careful with that because executables nowadays are usually digitally signed. So when you create a new manifest and inject the manifest in the executable, you change the executable, meaning that the digital signature becomes invalid. And that will create other issues, probably. If there is no manifest at all, You can create an external manifest, which is just a text file that you can create next to the executable. And then you can use that text file to tell Windows how to deal with elevation. If you really want to inject, you can. There is a tool for that, mt.exe. You can find it in the Windows SDK. And then you can use a long command line to inject the manifest in an executable. If you're not sure if there is an if there is a manifest in an executable, you can use sigcheck. Sigcheck is a tool from sysinternals that you can use to view the manifest and see if the digital signature of the executable is still valid. So what does this look like? Well, let's open a command prompt. And let's open Explorer. Whoa.
It's okay.
Yes, I'll be fine. I should be fine if my mouse works with me.
But
move
creative.
Really slow. Yes. Now I have a demo folder here. If my mouse keeps working with me. And my demo folder has a demo app, which is legacy app up here. And now let's enlarge the icon for my legacy app. View large icons. Now see what happens when I change the name of the executable. I can change the name from legacy app to legacy app update. And now watch what happens when I press Enter. Let's do it like this. And click Enter. And you see that a shield just appeared. When I remove update, there is no shield. When I add update, there is a shield. Having a shield there means that Windows now thinks that this program requires elevation. So if I try to start it now, it will show the consent UI and ask me, do you want to elevate? Well, no, I don't. And I don't want this program to elevate. Now, if I don't want this program to elevate, I can actually do two things. The preferred way to fix it is by creating a shim. To create a shim requires you to install the application compatibility toolkit and use the tools in there to create a shim. And the shim is also part of the layer of lives. It will tell Windows, if you are starting this application, then act this way to make the application feel comfortable and work fine. Another way to do it is by creating a manifest. And I have an example of a manifest here. Let's open Notepad and show you the manifest. This is the manifest. And currently, this manifest has a line here that says requested execution level. And it says require administrator. Now, if I have this executable, it's currently named legacy app update, and I want this application not to elevate, I should say as invoker. So let's change this file. And say as invoker and save it. Then I have to make sure that Windows knows this, that this manifest belongs to this executable. So what I will do is I will create a new folder. Create a folder that I will just call app. I will copy my executable in the app folder. And I will copy the manifest in my app folder, but I will give the manifest the same name as the executable with a new extension, .manifest. So let's try it like this. Copy example manifest to the app directory with the same name as my executable, but .manifest. So. And now if I have a look in this folder, there is my executable, which no longer shows the shield, and there's the manifest. So if I now try to start this executable, it will not request for consent and it will just run being a process with limited access, with a restricted token. Yes. So, Windows 8 still has user account control, and it's there to stay. I already told you Windows 8 is not supported when you disable user account control, because what will happen if you disable user account control is this. Any modern UI application that you try to start will not start. And I shouldn't say modern UI application. I should say Windows Store application. I talked to Microsoft Marketing before the TechEd, and they told me these applications are now called Windows Store applications. So I asked them, what is Internet Explorer here then? Well, that's not a Windows Store application. That's the immersive browser. Just that you know. So Windows Store applications do not run on Windows 8 when you disable user account control. You will get this message and you're unsupported. So you can still go to the desktop and run your applications. Every application will run with an elevated, every process will run at the elevated token. Internet Explorer will always run with the elevated with elevated access. So there is no low-level processes in Internet Explorer. And none of your other Windows Store applications will run. So and that is because Windows 8 introduced new security. It introduced the app container. And the app container is actually the introduction of another new security ID in Windows. Actually, it's two new security IDs in Windows. This all started in Windows NT 4. We had security IDs for users. Then we had security IDs for groups. Then later we had security IDs for services. In Windows Vista, we got the Windows Installer Service, and it takes care of installation of service packs and other stuff. Now we have security IDs for apps. That's the app container. And running in an app container means that all these Windows Store applications run in their own sandbox. They have their own security ID. They can only enter their own folder in their own sandbox. They are not able to get direct access to your files. They are not able to use your network unless they have special capabilities to do so. They are not able to use your webcam unless they have special capabilities to do so. So when you install a Windows Store app, you are not installing the Windows Store app. It's the Windows Installer Service that takes care of the installation and links the installation to you so that you can use it. Now, if a Windows Store application requires access to, for instance, to your documents, it will not go to your documents folder by itself. No, it will call another process, a helper process, to enter your documents for this application and hand over the data that you are looking for. So if you start looking how these processes run in Process Explorer, you will notice that each and every Windows Store application is running at the low integrity level. It has an app container, which is a security ID for this specific application. And it has certain capabilities. Capabilities that tell what these Windows Store applications can access. Microsoft has very, very little documentation about app containers. I started looking and I found one article. It was written about Internet Explorer 10 in the beta of Windows 8. And it was outdated. So I had to write two new articles about what I found. And I hope Microsoft will release some new documentation. Now, an application running in an app container cannot access any resource on your system unless the developer made sure that it got the correct app capabilities. An app capability is, for instance, having access to your microphone, but it's also getting access to your internal network or getting access to the internet. There are also capabilities to enter your libraries, and these libraries are only needed when an application, when a Windows Store application, has to be able to access your library by itself without user interaction. So if you just have to browse for a document, then you don't require any of these capabilities. But if you are running, for instance, the music application, the music app, it requires access to your music library so that it can index your music library when it started, so that it has a list of all your music available. Some of these capabilities are special. Especially the domain credentials capability is one that you can only use as a developer if you are an enterprise developer. So you cannot just be a public developer that creates a nice app for the store and require domain credential access. No, you have to be a special developer. Otherwise, Microsoft will not allow you to enter the store with this application. Microsoft is really strict about these applications in the Windows Store, so they will check if you are not requiring any more capabilities than you strictly need for the app that you just created for the Windows Store. Actually, app capabilities are like user groups in Windows. You have the app in the app container, and the app container gets capabilities to get access to certain resources on your system. Now, you can always look up the capabilities of your applications. And some of these capabilities are switchable by the end user. So the end user can tell if it truly likes that an application has access to the microphone or has access to your location or your webcam. And then and those capabilities can usually be turned off. So this is users being in control of what capabilities an application gets. And as you see, the other application capabilities are there so that you know that an application has access to your home network or has access to the internet. Now let's have a look at how these app containers work in Windows 8. Let's move to the modern UI. Start my music app. And as the music app is started, and go to settings and permissions. Let's see if this still works. Oh, it doesn't work. Yes, it does. You notice that this application, it has permission to use my music library and my internet connection. Now, let's try
escape,
to get
escape.
Back. Yes.
Escape.
Let's start Process Explorer. And yes. And Process Explorer now shows that I have a new process here. It's called wwahost.exe. And if I look for its properties, you'll notice that the image says this is Zune Music WWA. So this is the music app that I just started. And if I look into its security, like this, you'll also see that here we get the application capabilities of this this application. So it has the access to my internet connection. It has access to my music library. If I drill down, then you notice that it's running at the low mandatory level. So this is a low integrity level process. And it runs in an app container. And just to make sure, the app container has an entry that ends with 8003. We will see this. So this application is stored here. Let's see if it's still working.
Let's try it.
Process Explorer just crashed. I don't know if Mark Rozinovich knows about this. Let's restart my application. Go back here. And wwahost.exe properties image. So this is where my application is stored. It's stored in program files, Windows apps. So if I start browsing to this folder, I require an elevated token. Let's start an elevated command prompt. And go to C, program files. Windows apps. And see what's in there. Now, you will notice quite a long list. And one thing you will notice is that some applications are there multiple times in multiple versions. And this creates issues when you try to create a new image for a Windows 8 system, because you cannot install Windows 8, then install the updates for all your Windows Store apps, and then sysprep your system, because you just updated the Windows Store apps for the currently logged on user. So when a new user logs in, this new user is connected to the old version of the Windows Store app. So in Windows 8, there was no solution for that. I'm not sure about how it's fixed in Windows 8.1. I haven't been able to look at it yet. But you are not able to do these updates. So for the Zune application that we're looking now, Zune Music, we're looking at version 1.2.150. And let's have a look at its security. Microsoft. Zune Music 1.2.150. And here is the security of this folder. Let's zoom in. I just zoomed in a bit. So you see that I can, as a user, install this Windows Store application, but I am not the owner. I only have read access to this folder. That's what it says here. Read and execute. The ones who get full control are the trusted installer. No, trusted installer and system. So probably it's Windows Trusted Installer that's truly installing the application, and I, as a user, can only run it. And there is one more security ID that's added here. Let's zoom in again. And this is a security ID, and it ends with 8003.
Again.
This is the app container. So what it actually says, this is the application with a security ID that ends with 8003 that has access to this folder. If you look at the security of the Windows folders, you will notice that there is a new group in there. Let's look at it here. eye cackles. And there is a new group here that says application package authority, all application packages have read access. So when you install a Windows Store application, it had access to its own folder only and the files that are part of the Windows operating system and nothing else. And if you use the application to browse to something else, this will be the last thing I show, then something nice happens. Let's go to my music application and try to open a file. Let's see if I can do it like this. Open a file. Then it will open the file browser. And if I look in Windows Explorer, in Process Explorer, you see that a new process is started. And this process is the picker host. And picker host is the process that actually browses to my documents folder. Because this Windows Store app doesn't have access to my documents folder. It asks the picker access to access my Windows to access my documents folder. Okay. That brings us to browsers. We only have a few minutes left. I already told about Internet Explorer running in enhanced protected mode, in protected mode, where Internet Explorer runs with the low integrity level, but it doesn't have any real restrictions like the app container. But if you start Internet Explorer from as a modern UI application, you get Internet Explorer in a different modus. It runs in an app container, and that's called Internet Explorer enhanced protected mode, and you can enable enhanced protected mode when running from the desktop. Running in enhanced protected mode means that you are running the Internet Explorer process as a 64-bit process, and it truly runs in an app container. The permissions in Windows do not truly show that. It shows that this app is trusted and can use all system capabilities. But if you drill into Process Explorer, it will actually show you that it's really running in an app container with limited possibilities. But there is something odd going on. Because if you are browsing the internet from the immersive browser, I should say, the Windows Store version of the browser, it will run in an app container when browsing the internet. But when you start browsing your internal network, you will get a medium integrity level process that's no longer running in an app container. So it actually jumps out of the app container. Now, Microsoft got in a fight with Firefox because Firefox wanted to create a modern UI browser also. But Firefox is not willing to use an app container. It's not willing to use low integrity level. They have all these add-ons for Firefox, and they will probably break when Firefox goes to a certain lower integrity level. And Microsoft doesn't allow any application developer to create a Windows Store app that's not running in an app container. Except Internet Explorer when you're browsing your internal network. Now, Google created Chrome. And Google is really, really secure as it is using integrity levels. And it goes even below the low integrity level. Erdal will now start Google Chrome.
Which I did.
Which you just did. And if you look to the Chrome processes, you will see that Chrome is going to the untrusted integrity level. But it comes with a price. Google Chrome requires a lot of helper processes to do higher level stuff on your system. So you will usually see a number of Chrome processes appearing depending on what you are doing with Google Chrome. Because at the lowest level, it cannot do anything on your system. So it's time to wrap up. User account control, it's there to stay. It's probably the basis for what Microsoft is moving to with Windows 8 and the Windows Store applications. It creates a more safe environment. Internet Explorer gets safer. And I don't think you should try to disable user account control anymore. It's there to stay. We have to live with it. And if you are a developer, there won't be a time without user account control anymore, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, just before we go, if you have any question, the time is up. Please come and ask us here. We got some e-books to give away. If you come and ask nice question, everybody who comes here is going to get an e-book, okay? Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the sessions. And we're looking forward to see you next year at TechEd again. Thank you.
One more thing. Please, please fill out the evaluations. This is very important for us speakers. We like to be back next year. And it can only happen if you evaluate our sessions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for being here this morning.